HarperCollins and Harper Audio present Watch Hollow by Gregory Fenaro, performed by Reba Burr. The oldest and strongest emotion of mankind is fear, and the oldest and strongest kind of fear is fear of the unknown. H.P. Lovecraft. Prologue. The rat, Fenish 7, pumped his legs harder toward the river. He could see a circle of moonlight now at the edge of the woods, about 30 yards ahead at the end of the tunnel of trees, but the gar was gaining fast.
"I want your fear, Fenish 7," he bellowed.
The earth shook with the giant's footsteps. Boom, boom, boom. And then came the thunderous crack of splitting tree limbs. Startled, Fenish stumbled and nearly fell, then quickly found his footing again and took off down the leaf-strewn path. He didn't dare look back. The rat was so frightened he could hardly breathe.
"There is no escape, Seven,"
the giant cried again, closer now. Boom, boom, boom. And Fenish turned on a final burst of speed. His heart hammered and his legs throbbed painfully. 20 yards. Boom. 10 yards. Boom, boom, boom. And then the rat hurled himself out of the woods and into the moonlight. He scrambled down the riverbank and leaped for the water when, without warning, a pair of sharp talons dug into his flesh and snatched him up in the air. It was the giant's bird, the traitor, Tempest Crow.
"Ah!"
cried Fenish, struggling against the crow's grasp. And then the gar's laughter, deep and croaking, echoed through the woods.
"You are mine, Seven."
Fenish 7 twisted and thrashed as Tempest Crow carried him higher. And then, somehow, the rat craned his head back over his shoulder and sank his teeth into the underside of the great bird's thigh. It was the old wound, still tender from the first time they'd fought, and with an ear-splitting caw, the traitor released him. Fenish tumbled head over tail through the darkness, but just before he splashed down in the river, he caught sight of the gar's red, burning eyes glaring hatefully at him through the trees. After that, everything went black. 1. Mr. Quigley's Proposal. The long black car brought the rain, or was it the other way around? Lucy Tinker could never be sure, but in the end it didn't matter. There was darkness in both. Lucy watched the car from her father's storefront window, her eyes peering out through the backward O and C and clock, as if the painted letters were spectacles. The car had been sitting there for about 15 minutes. So had Lucy, cross-legged in a spot once occupied by a large mantel clock her father had sold the day before. If any strangers had been passing by Tinker's clock shop that day, they might have thought Lucy were for sale too, wedged as she was among the other objects in the window. There were clocks, of course, but also 2 Chinese vases, a painting of a poodle in a tutu, and a rusty old tuba.
"No, Pop, you need to move the decimal point over 2 spaces, Oliver said.
He was helping their father balance the books on the ancient laptop behind the counter, and from the sound of things, Pop wasn't happy.
"You mean we lost $640, not $6.40? And I haven't even factored in the interest on the line of credit yet."
Mr. Tinker groaned and held his head in his hands.
"I knew I shouldn't have bought that tuba."
Oliver met Lucy's eyes and shrugged. He'd warned Pop not to branch out into antiques, but Pop hadn't listened, and it had cost him big time. Lucy wasn't sure how much, only that over the last year, there had been less money to spend on groceries each week. Lucy sighed and swiveled her eyes up to an old cuckoo clock on the wall. Only 3 minutes left until closing. 3 little ticks on the big hand and then, cuckoo! Her punishment was over. That's what you got for fighting these days. 5 days of hard labor in the clock shop. Didn't matter that the fight was on the last day of school, or that Betty Bigsby had it coming. Pop wouldn't listen. Pop never listened. Lucy hated being cooped up in her father's shop. It was smaller than the other stores on their dingy city street, and smelled like an old shoe. Not to mention the
Sample complete. Ready to continue?